We have already some partners who have started supporting us in keeping these girls in school, and their children are given caretakers in the school such that they continue. And in fact, 2021 examination, we have over 20 girls who had dropped out, and they have come back to school and they set the final examination, which we are still waiting the result. So we are trying our best to ensure that we advocate for these girls to come back. And even our Education Act says the girls who drop out due to pregnancy are to come back and or remain in school and be educated. This is our concern.
Now, Kuja, let me come to you. You would like to add something on the first question from Franco Sebi before we move to the next one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I think I need to be very careful about what I'm going to say here, and I need to actually throw the question back at all of us, including the person who asked the question and our listeners. What do we do? Yes, all of us, in terms of trying to address the issue around barriers to girls' education, girls that are dropping out, is a responsibility of every single one of us. The Ministry of Education can make the efforts that they're making, and the programs such as JESS can make all the efforts they're making. However, if our attitudes and practice don't change out there, not much will change, because we know that we take 10 steps forward and then 5 steps back, because we know that a lot of the times girls don't have a sense of role models in terms of women who they can aspire to. They are looking for someone to sort of guide them beyond perhaps secondary school. Mm. We know that that's a challenge. And then we find that they drop out because they see that once they come out of secondary school, there's not really very much that's going to happen afterwards. So then there needs to be some mentoring that needs to happen around education of girls and what will happen after perhaps primary and secondary education. We know that sometimes girls themselves choose to get married because they feel that marriage is perhaps a more secure forum in terms of where they can maybe, rather than maybe finding a job, because salaries of teachers and so forth are very low, as an example. There needs to be work done around that, around what is offered to women when they finish their primary and secondary education. What else can they do so that they know that the option of going to school and completing school actually has a benefit and has its rewards afterwards. So there is a role for us to play as families, as communities, as leaders within the community to ensure that that conversation is had very honestly around how we kind of try together to mitigate some of these risks of them dropping out.
Right. And Akuja, let me just finish with you on this part. What is your comment on Nikwach from WOW, who is talking about why only girls are being supported? What about boys, and they are being discouraged?
Completely understood. And we hear this every time, and we recognize that definitely there is definitely an issue. However, we know that the reason that programs such as Girls Education South Sudan exist is because where we came from and where we are as a country, we know that girls and women's education is still not considered as important as boys.
Mm.
Yes. And because of programs such as JESS, we have made progress. But the reality out there is women and girls are still not treated or given their rightful place or are able to acquire what is rightfully theirs because of the discrimination that is being practiced even within families.
And remember, in the 2021 the examinations, they outperform boys, actually, girls.
Correct. That's right. And this definitely is progress that we have contributed to. Yes, absolutely, including the Ministry of General Education. However, we know that there are still issues. We know that girls are still dropping out. We see the numbers going high, but we know that when they climb up the education ladder, going to secondary, there's less and less women and girls in the upper sort of education levels.
Right. And Director General, this question also goes to you. And let's talk about the ministry in general. What role are you playing here?
In fact, what Akuja have said is just right. Our attitude, most of the time, we are seeing that girls are always considered as asset. or property, which you can dispose of anytime you wish to. But boys are considered to be the real owners of the home, so they are always taken care of. And again, when you look at the way when you have two children, a boy and a girl, and there is issue financial issue, most of the time boys are preferred to go to the school rather than the girls, and this makes it difficult for us. And again, despite all this support that we are giving to the girls, we have not yet reached 50-50. And this makes us say, no, we still have a long way to go. And what we are doing is, we are trying to ensure that all are considered. And actually, we don't want, in education, we don't discriminate. But we support them to be at equity. That's why we are supporting boys through capitation grant, where the money is given to the school and everybody must benefit from that. Girls' caste support that is given is just to motivate, to allow the parents, allow the girls to go to school. So we are trying to ensure that both children come to school, because we need to develop both sides. Like when you have now, if I want to clap, I will not be able to clap with one hand. And that's if I have only a boy to send to school. Development will not be there. To have a proper development, it means that I have to educate a boy and a girl so that I can clap and sound louder. And we are trying our best. In school, we have, if it is a wash, the boys are there, the girls are there. And in teaching, we make sure both of them are there. But again, we have a problem, shortage of female teachers, because we don't have role models for the girls. Men are always there for the boys. So this makes it difficult for us to say that girls and boys are going at the same pace. And this is because we have not encourage the girls to remain in school and complete their education.
Right. Yeah. And thank you. Akumu mentioned something interesting, and that brings me to you, Akuja. She mentioned capitation grant, and we have some questions here from our listeners, but let's pick this one from Martin Akot from Jewel River County of Western Bahr al-Ghazali State in Wa, saying, good morning, iRadio. My question to the guest in the studio is that, why are you not sending money of capitation grant early, like in January and February?
I think he is probably confusing capitation grants with cash transfers. Yes.
Now you can clarify that.
I can clarify. So capitation grants is money that goes to the schools, and cash transfers are money that goes to the girls. So the reason why the cash transfers are not paid at the beginning of the academic year is that there is a process. First of all, we have to get the enrollment for that particular year. And it takes time for the data. First of all, schools open. Sometimes schools open late, not sort of the day that is sort of they are instructed to open. Right. We know that across the country. Then we have to do the registration. It takes time, up to maybe a month, at least a month, for the schools to do the registration. Then the information needs to be collected and entered into a system. So all of that takes at least a term to get that whole process done, a whole term. Unfortunately, our systems are manual. If we had a digital system where we can digitalize this, that every year we don't have to enter every single child. We have, you know, over 2 million children in primary and secondary schools across South Sudan. Imagine doing data entry every year of two million plus children. That takes time. So if there's a system to digitalize that, that will be great. And then we avoid having to enter every new every single child, even if they've been in the school system. We only enter those who are coming into the system as new learners. So that process takes time. After that process is done, then we have to go out and validate. I'm sure there'll be a question around whether the right girls are receiving and so forth, and people know out there's a problem around that. So we then have to go and validate and make sure the girls that we have on the system are actually real girls. not a boy or not,
not having ghost names, for
ghost
instance.
Names and so forth. So we have to do that validation. Again, that validation takes us maybe about 2 months, depending on the number of girls that we're working with that year. And then if we're working with the old calendar, say we start in February, this will take us into probably the beginning of, maybe middle of September, middle of August, something like that. So that takes time to do that process.
Right.
And then the payments then will start.
Right.
In the last two years, I think the schedule has changed a bit because of the school closures, and then schools open, the cycle of the school is slightly different than before.
Right.
We're not starting in February. So last year we did pay quite late. Even into Christmas, we were still paying.
Mm.
We recognize that, and we're trying to see how best to rectify that and pay earlier. So we're in discussions with the ministry to see how to do so.
Right. And since you're running out of time, maybe let me come to you, Esther, and give your last message on the National Girls Education Day as we prepare to commemorate the day tomorrow.
Thank you very much. My message goes to the public, the parents, and the guardians of the children, especially girls, that we should make sure that we should know that we are responsible for these children, especially the girls. If they are not educated, it's our fault. And if they are married off early, it's our fault. And this will show that we are not taking care of the right of the girls. And we should remember that one hand does not clap, and or a bird cannot fly with one wing. And for the girls, we should know that girls are partners for their development, and girls are agent for transformation of this country. So let's keep the girls in school and not bright at home. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Okujedigram.
My last message is probably something I alluded to, that we all have a responsibility to ensure that our girls are enrolling in school, are staying in school, and are completing school. And very simply put, that if we were, as a nation, if we're aspiring to be a progressive and a peaceful nation, we need to, girls need to be counted, and they need to be counted in school and in the society and at home. And education, as we know, is a key a motivator, but a key enabler of them being positive contributors to the society. That would be my last message.